Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go right out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline, where Pirates manager Derek Shelton's on the line. Derek is brought to you by Fanatic Impressions. Shelty, how are you today?
Wow, you went Shelty, huh? Wow.
Without Ron, I feel a lot of freedom.
So you went Shelty. I like that. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's an implied pressure there. Go ahead.
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm excited about perhaps seeing some baseball here, and I'm sure you just heard Stephen Brault with Jeff talking about how he thinks that the DH is good for the game, and yet he sounds very bitter that he won't get a chance to bat. Do you like this? Do you like having full-time DH, both leagues?
I like it this year specifically for the reason that I don't want to put our pitchers in a position where they're doing things in a three-week spring training where they could get hurt. You know, I realize people understand, or people that are purists of the game and like the DH, and you know, I respect that. This year, my concern is making sure that our pitchers go out and are able to pitch. And, you know, we're preparing them in 3 weeks to get ready for a season. And by doing so, it's all arm, you know, it's all throwing and arm activation and that. And them having to worry about being on the other side of the ball just doesn't seem right to me this year.
Do you think pitchers will be stretched out enough, will be conditioned enough to pitch as many innings as they normally would in you know, a mid-season situation of a normal year? Or is that something you're going to monitor closely and maybe not have guys go 6, 7, 8 innings?
Well, I think we're going to monitor that closely for sure. But I think the other part of it is, you know, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, we knew that we were going to get started. We knew we had a 10-day window or a 14-day window. So our guys have been up. Like, you know, Derek Holland threw 5 innings yesterday, and Musgrove's going to throw 5 innings tonight. So, again, it's not the same intensity as a major league game, but at least we're getting their ups and we're getting their pitch counts up. So I don't know. I think it's going to affect each team individually in terms of how their prep was coming into the off season, and then also – you know, where they're at health-wise.
We had Cole Tucker on earlier, and he spoke of how this is sort of a unique camp for obvious reasons, but he also spoke of the way that you're running it, Shelty. And that is, he said players are being asked to do a little more branching out. I'm wondering what you think he meant by that. It sounded like guys interacting with groups they wouldn't normally interact with, things like that?
Yeah, in terms of branching out, you know, specifically, I don't know what Cole's talking about, but I knew we're mixing our groups up, you know, every day in terms of who people work with and how they work, just to make sure that we functionally get enough work. And then the other thing with branching out is we're asking questions of what they need. And because we have 3 weeks, we're saying specifically to them, in spring training 1.0, we laid out every day what we were going to do. We knew when our cuts and relays were going to be, when our rundowns were going to be, when all these things were going to be. In a three-week time period, we're going to get to certain things, but we also have to ask the individual player, like, what do you need today? And we need to facilitate that, especially in the first 2 weeks, because guys are coming back, and when we're running through certain drills, if they don't feel like they're prepared in a specific area, then we want them to ask so we can say, like, all right, we're going to isolate and make sure you get that work today.
Are guys wearing, like, I saw a photo of Mike Trout the other day running bases with a mask on. Are guys wearing those during workouts? What do you make of that whole situation? Could somebody ever play a game with a mask on? It seems unlikely. It seems like it would be very challenging.
Well, guys, I mean, guys wear masks all the time in cold weather. You know, when you watch the beginning of games, I can remember, you know, being here as the bench coach for the Twins a few years ago, and it was so cold and snowed that I think everybody on both sides had a mask on. So I know it's different being in the summertime. I think you will see guys wear masks. We have guys that wear masks during our workout. We make sure that our guys, if they're in a situation where they're coming up on someone to talk, they put their mask back on. Our staff is in masks. I would say a majority of the time, unless they're standing in the outfield social distance away from people, but I definitely think you will see people wear masks. And honestly, I mean, we need people to wear masks, not only at the, you know, at the ballpark, but away from the ballpark, because that's how we're going to help protect ourselves.
Talking to Pirates manager Derek Shelton, his weekly appearance with Cook and Joe, Ron on vacation this week. Let's talk about the minor league situation and how your younger guys get at bats with really nowhere to go other than Altoona. And I guess the first name that comes to mind is Ke'Bryan Hayes, who may start in Altoona, who knows, because of service time concerns. But him and Cole Tucker are two guys that come to mind for me as a challenge for you in terms of getting them at bats this season to develop. How do you handle that challenge?
Well, both of those two guys that you mentioned are in our group of 60, and whether they're here in Pittsburgh or they're in Altoona with us, they will be getting live at-bats. I mean, the group that's in Altoona has pitchers, has our own pitchers that we're working on development-wise, and we will be playing simulated games to make sure that they can consistently get what they need. And to your second point, or to your first point, is the thing that's more challenging for us, or we're more worried about, are these the guys that are not in the group of 60, and how we facilitate that group of prospects of making sure we don't lose time in development. But for those two guys and anybody that's in our 60 specifically, we're going to make sure that regardless of where they are, they're getting plenty of work.
How about the younger guys? What is the plan for people like, I don't know, the Quinn Priesters and Travis Swaggerty's of the world? Is it inter-squad scrimmage type things, or still undetermined, or sort of what's the organizational approach there?
Well, specifically to Swaggerty, he's in our camp in Altoona, so you know he will be getting work. But with that other group of prospects that are not there, we're continuing to work through it. I think it's something that Larry Broadway, our farm director, and Ben are working through and trying to facilitate, and hopefully, you know, between Major League Baseball and the clubs, we can get, you know, an extended Arizona Fall League, or we can get some sort of instructional league that gets extended out, and we can get guys into camp and get them some work. I think once we figure out if we can do that, then we'll have to, you know, go to the next step of what functionally we can do to make sure we're getting work in.
Gregory Polanco is an interesting case on your major league team. Josh Bell the other day commented that Polanco was off to a great start in this camp, hitting balls in the river, hitting them all over the place, and importantly also making good throws from the outfield. He said it's the best he's seen him throw since the surgery. Where is he at in your mind?
Well, he's healthy, and that's the most important thing. And I think we saw him initially start to be, or, you know, he was healthy at the beginning of spring training 1.0. He did a great job during the time in between and making sure that he continued with his rehab and his body. He looks great. I mean, Josh is right. He took a round of BP the other day that I actually sat in the right field stands for, catching home run balls between those two. And I think they hit more in the river than they did in the stands. And saw him throw the other day. It was good. It was consistent. And I think the one thing we need to remember, and I remind myself of with Polanco, is he's 28 years old. You know, this guy's still a young guy. He got to the big leagues without a ton of time in the minor leagues, and that's not the easiest thing to do. And because of that, and then because of his injuries, there's still room for growth with him, and I think we're going to see a very good version of him this year.
I agree. I'm having trouble pulling the trigger on Shelty here. I have to admit that, but I'm just going to go ahead. I agree, Shelty. I do. In fact, I wrote a piece on him today where he's only had 2 years where he's had more than 500 at-bats, but it leads to a question, and that is seasoning in the minors ever really a bad thing? Like McCutchen had 1,500 bats in AA and AAA, and Polanco only had 500, and there has been other aspects of his game that over the years you could tell could have used more seasoning. So is it ever a bad thing to keep a guy in the minors a little longer?
No, and I think that's a really good point. And, you know, I didn't know the specific numbers on Kutch and Polanco, but 1,500 at-bats is usually the gold standard of a minor league player's career. And sometimes guys get rushed to the big leagues, and then it's like, well, you know, our expectation is he should do X, Y, and Z at the major leagues when he hasn't finished developing. And there is real development that goes on in the minor leagues. That's why it's in place. There's a lot of things you learn, not only physically, but mentally going through the ups and downs of a season. So, yeah, I think when guys don't get the amount of work or at-bats in the minor leagues, and then all of a sudden they come to the big leagues and have a little bit of success, everybody expects for that success to just maintain. And that's very difficult to do, especially at the big leagues, because of the fact there's a lot of information, people start to figure it out, and you have to make adjustments. So the development aspect, is it real? It's important. And I think sometimes it gets overlooked because of the fact people are like, well, he should just do this. And that's really not the case.
With Polanco, too, and this may be a dumb question, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it. He never learned how to slide. I mean, that's just a fact, and it was unfortunately manifested with that slide he got injured on a couple of years ago. Do you want him sliding? Do you work on sliding with him and with other guys, not only to make sure they don't get injured, but also this day and age where you have replays where if you come up off the bag by a millimeter, they'll catch it on replay and you're out. How much sliding work do you do as a team and with him specifically?
Well, sliding work is hard because of the fact that guys, when you practice it, they don't go full speed on it. And it's hard to simulate full speed. So you really have to watch how it happens in the game. And to Gregory specifically, one of the things that stood out to me the most in spring training 1.0 was in our second game, he broke up a double play. And he broke it up very clean, very hard with a good slide. So what that told me is, number one, he was healthy. Number two, the work he's put in on his legs and how he's going to go about it has transformed into a game. So once I saw that, I think the slide that he had, you know, on the play that he got hurt was a freak slide. You know, he tried to avoid something. He jumped too high in the air in something that, you know, knock on wood, is not going to happen again. But the fact of the way he broke up a double play, the hard slide in a spring training game, being able to stay straightforward, to stay on his butt, it was perfect. And because of that, it was a good sign for us. Like, all right, he's in a good spot. He feels good, and he's healthy.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton, a couple more minutes here on Cook and Joe. So who's ahead of who early on, hitters or pitchers?
I think our pitchers are ahead, you know, for sure. I think any time you come into whatever spring training setting or time off, it's always pitchers because of the fact that they can work, and then once they start to see hitters in the box, they get a little amped up and they get adrenaline going. And hitters, it takes time to get ready to hit and to make the movement to get ready to hit. And there's no way you can simulate that without doing it. You can work off the machine and, you know, do velocity stuff, and that's extremely important. But until you're seeing the arm action and you get some at-bats under your belt, the pitchers are always going to be ahead.
Do you like the rule of starting the 10th inning with a man on second? And what's the finer point on that rule? Can you choose anybody on your whole bench to go in there, or does it have to be somebody active in the game, or what?
Well, to say if I like it or not, I really don't know, because of the fact that, you know, they told us about a week ago we were going to do it. We've started talking about it. It's probably been the thing that I've talked the most with our staff about during the last week. I'm leaning on Mike Ribello, who's one of our hitting coaches, because he managed in the minor leagues with it, and he has experience with it. I'm leaning on our informatics group in terms of how we should go about dealing with it. I've talked to other coaches. I've talked to players. I've talked to other managers about it. So to say we know the finer points of it, no, I don't think we do. I think it's something we're going to learn by trial and error, and it's going to be something we're probably going to get right one time and look really smart, and then we're going to screw up the next time by doing the exact same thing. So I think we'll continue to learn and grow on it. And then the second part of it is the last hitter of the inning has to go out and run is where it's at. So that's where there's going to be strategy in post in terms of, you know, who you're going to have go out and run, what part of your order, who else you've used in the game. You know, that could be important.
So if a really slow guy was your last hitter, you'd have to make the choice, okay, you could pinch run for him and you'd have to take him out of the game?
Right. You take him out of game. So, you know, say, for example, I was the last out of the inning before and you're on the bench and you're really fast. Well, we would want you to run for me. But if you come in that spot in the game, it's just like you're coming in the game. So positionally, if it doesn't work, you have to make an adjustment to make sure that you have the positions filled. And, you know, it very much can be factored in if you're the visiting team, because then that person has to play defense. If you're the home team, you score. You know, you could win if the team didn't score. So there's so many factors that go into this. And I think that's why we said we're talking about it so much, is you think you outline how everything should go, and then you have a conversation with another coach and there's four other points that you didn't even think about that come up. So I think we're gonna continue to learn on this as we move forward.
Isn't the obvious move here, Shelty, to just bunt the guy to third? Isn't everybody going to try to bunt the guy to third and then get him in?
Well, I think that could be one of the obvious moves. I mean, depending on what the bullpen usage is, if you're the visiting team and you bunt the guy over and your bullpen is not in a shape where you think you can hold, are you going to play for one run? Are you going to play for two runs? The short answer would be yes. But then as you start to deep dive into this, is how is the intentional walk going to come into play? Are the next two guys going to get walked? Are they not going to get walked? Where you're at in the order? Who's the runner? You know, there's so many factors that I think you're going to see people do it one way one day and look really good doing it, and do it the same way the next day, and it's not going to work. So personnel plays into it a lot, and it's one of the things that I think why so many people in the game are asking each other of, like, how's this going to work?
Last question. Speaking of guys who are 28 and may have more to give here, Adam Frazier's had a pretty good career to this point. David Freese said he could see Frazier one day winning a batting title. He sort of has leveled off in the upper 270s, which isn't bad, but I feel like there's a lot more there, and I'm wondering if you agree.
I do agree, and I think the one thing that Frazier has is he has a really, really great ability to put the barrel of the bat on the ball. And you know, we even saw it yesterday a little bit in our simulated game, our live BP. Just he can get his body into different positions and still put a good swing on it. And guys like that have the ability to get a lot of hits, and they have the ability to get a lot of hits in a hurry because of the fact that they can, you know, not be in the best position or be fooled and still barrel something up. So, yeah, I think there's more to come with him, and excited about it. You know, the more you watch Frazier play, the more you appreciate how good a hitter he is.
Shelty, it's been wonderful without Ron, actually, hasn't it?
Without Ron. No free association today?
No, I had to focus. Without Ron, I had to get some smart questions in there and was a little bit flustered. I was going to call you Shelty and everything else, so no free association. I apologize.
I love it. All right, free association next week.
Okay. That's a promise.
Right. Okay. Well,
thank
have a
you.
Good week.
Goodbye, Shelty.
Thanks.
You too.
See ya.
We'll talk to you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.